Hey guys, today's podcast is going to be about how Azalea Dying has reformed and released new music and the controversy around it. We're going to be discussing ethics, moral compass, virtue signaling, rehabilitation, and where to draw the line. It'll be an interesting conversation. I hope you enjoy. Denny T here, and this is Rage of Reason. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm excited to watch Game 4 of the Cavs-Warriors Final Series tonight.
I don't have a good feeling about this series.
Yeah, obviously. No team has ever come back.
Even this game, though, I don't have a good
feeling. I think we're going to win tonight.
I mean, I think we will, too, but I don't know. Don't feel great about it. Could be LeBron's last game in a Cavs jersey.
No, we're not even going to go there.
It could be, though.
There is always, you know what? This whole speculative reporting crap needs to stop. Dude yeah, said he was going to retire here. What's he going to do? Go leave and then come back? You're calling him a liar. Don't you think when he left the first time and came back the way that he did, he kind of learned the hard way?
Yeah, I'm not saying that he is leaving. I'm just saying it could be the last time we see him in a Cavs jersey, which it, I mean, that's a factual statement. It could be.
Okay, sure. And I could die in a car wreck after this podcast.
Yeah, that is true.
Here's the deal. The only team he could go to and have a better chance of winning the finals is Golden State.
Which would be bullshit, let's be honest.
He would never do that.
Yeah.
Okay? He's not going to go to Houston. He's not going to go to Boston. He's not going to go to Philly. And there's no team in this league he would ever have more control or stake in than this team. And he's never going to be worshipped the same as he is in Cleveland. And this is home.
That is also a factual statement.
But this is not a sports talk radio show, so...
Right on the top of the hour.
Okay. Well, anyways, welcome to Rage of Reason, Episode 2. This was going to be called The Art of Distraction, but I decided based on current events in the metal world, which seems very relevant to me, we're going to talk about Azalea Dying. We're going to talk about Tim Lambesis. We're going to talk about how they came back from the dead. And the controversy all around it. First of all, let's talk about the new single.
Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. I actually had chills when I heard it. The lyrics are amazing, and it was just so awesome to hear new Azalea Dying after like 7 years.
The lyrics are very, very, I mean, it's obvious.
But right.
My own grave.
I know. I seriously had chills when I heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the question on everyone's mind is it sincere?
Based on his statement that he released a few months ago, I would say yes.
I would agree. When it boils down to time. I mean, you can say whatever you want, and it could be 100% fact, 100% false, but time will tell. If, you know, he's learned and grown from this, I'll call it a mistake, but this was a grandiose, life-changing,
right, it wasn't just like a lapse in reason or a lapse in judgment. That's not what it was. This was a planned activity for a long time.
Well, it was a lapse of judgment for a long time.
When I think of a lapse of judgment, I think of, like, a very quick, like, hey, I'm driving home from the bar drunk or something. Like, that's a lapse in judgment. I know, like, it could be bigger, but...
Yeah, this isn't an oops.
Right.
This is a... Right. That dude fucked up real bad. And he must have been in a really, really dark place. Or he's a terrible sociopathic psychopath. I mean, you know...
So if that's the case, if he's just a sociopath, can he change?
I don't know. That's content for another episode, because I am terrified of sociopaths and psychopaths. And I actually just recently accused somebody of being a sociopath. Kind of in a public forum.
Uh-oh. Do you want to...
Nope.
No, you don't want to go into it?
I think it's best that I just leave personal matters off of the...
Is it like a fan of yours or a friend?
An ex-friend.
Okay.
It's more of a colleague.
Somebody in the metal industry?
Yes.
I'm just going to keep asking questions until we finally get it out of you.
Going to not answer.
All right.
Some people just get their rocks off on manipulating and taking advantage and... You know,
yeah. There's a lot of people
I call them power grabbers, because they don't feel confident and they don't have power or belief in themselves, so they have to try and take other people's power.
Trust me, I've met plenty of people that way. I had a boss like that for quite a while.
You ever just want to round up sociopaths and psychopaths and put them in camps? I'm joking.
I mean, not really.
I'm joking. The world would be a better place.
Yeah, probably, but, you know.
No, the real solution is for the good, decent people of this world to recognize those characteristics in people so they don't fall prey to that kind of manipulation. And then they lose their perceived power. But anyways, we're off topic again. As I Lay Dying, one of the most influential bands for me from the metalcore world.
Now, I would say not even just for you. They were super influential to a lot of bands. One of the first metal bands I ever listened to. I mean, I was like a freshman in high school when I started listening to them. And it changed my life. Like that was one of the first metalcore bands that I listened to. And it completely opened my eyes to that genre in general.
It's a great balance between technical guitar work, breakdowns, motivating powerful lyrics. I mean, dude, that last album by them, Awaken, is eerily prophetic of what was to come.
I think that might be in my top like three metal albums of all time. Completely underrated album, if you ask me.
Fantastic album. And, you know, not many people know the story, so I'm going to share it. So, Affiance got confirmed for the Killswitch Engage As Lay Dying tour of summer 2013. And, of course, I freaked out, almost cried.
Is it even public knowledge that As Lay Dying was supposed to be on that tour?
100%.
It was.
Affiance's name was on CNN because of this whole ordeal. Like, the tour flyer was posted, canceled, you know, tour and all that stuff.
I did not know that.
And then there was Affiance, and I was like, holy shit. Yeah, no. I mean, we were... The lineup was Killswitch Engage, As Lay Dying, Miss May I, Affiance.
Which, let's be honest, that's a killer lineup.
Yeah,
that's like one of the best
insane
tours of all time.
It's insane. And even with As Lay Dying not on it, it was the best metal tour of the year. Yeah, I'm biased, but prove me wrong. Like, Killswitch Engage, Miss May I, Darkest Hour, which are legends.
But they're not As Lay Dying.
No, sorry. But that's fine.
They're still really good.
Yeah, they influenced As Lay Dying.
Plus, the Word Alive
Darkest
was there.
Hour influenced...
Yeah.
They've been around since like 95, 96.
I know.
So like... The Word Alive and Us. I mean, it was it was a well balanced tour, like between, you know, the different types of metalcore, if you will. But anyways, so I was in London, England. I'd just woken up in our hotel. We hadn't even played a show in our first European tour yet. And when I got Wi-Fi, my Facebook had like 40 notifications. I had like 13 texts, iMessages. I was like, what is going on? And I started reading them, and they're like, is your tour canceled? What's going on? And I start freaking out, and then I find out, oh shit, Tim Lambesis got arrested for trying to hire a hitman to kill his wife. And I got sick to my stomach. I got so upset. Like, I've looked up to Tim Lambesis for years, for many reasons. You know, he was a family man. He was married with kids, ran multiple businesses, was a front man of a metalcore band.
Christian.
He was Christian, which at the time, you know, I was too. And it was just like the full package. Like, this dude's a badass, but he's a good-hearted man. And here he is trying to hire a hitman to kill his wife. And I was just like, I was planning on picking that dude's brain on that tour and learning and playing with two really legendary metalcore bands that I've looked up to for years. And, you know, boom. 3 weeks before the tour started, they got pulled. And the band ceased to exist. And they had never played a show again. And it was just, like, really upsetting because, you know, I'm an empathetic person. So I'm thinking, like, what is going on in this dude's head? What's going on in this man's life that he allowed himself to get to a place where he could make such a terrible, terrible, and heinous decision? And, yeah, I guess I just kind of wrote him off and was like, you know, I mean, the music will always mean what it did, but the band's dead. And Tim isn't who I thought he was. Fast forward 5 years, and we're here. You have a guy who served his sentence. He made his atonement to the justice system. And he's a free man, and he's putting out new music. And, man, I mean, 6 months ago, if you would have asked me if I would have ever supported As Lay Dying again, if I ever would have seen them play or buy a shirt or listen to their music, new music, I'd say no. Now, I don't know. I lean towards I'm open-minded to it because of a couple things. One, the statement he released in the winter. Once all his legal obligations were fulfilled, he released the statement that he couldn't benefit from or have detriment from about the pain he caused, the terrible decision he made, and the apology to everyone, bandmates, fans, family, even his ex-wife. And, of course, I respect that. Now, there's skeptics who are like, oh, it's bullshit, blah, 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 blah. It's like, all right, well, if you don't take anyone's word at face value, like, if you're just going to be that person, then why communicate? Like, what do words mean to you if you're just going to discredit everything that comes out of someone's mouth?
So if he didn't release that apology and he just served his time and started releasing new music under the moniker of As Lay Dying, you wouldn't support it?
Probably not. The words are important to me. And that's, that statement was very important to me. And it's only part of it. Like, here's the thing. Forgiveness takes time. You don't just go from black to white. Like, oh, everything's cool, Timmy. Like, no, it's, dude, you fucked up really bad. You almost ended someone's life. You scarred children. You ruined four dudes' musical careers. Oh, not to mention the financial impact on management, label, agent. And not, I mean, dude's decision affected me. Right, it affected right. me. There were a couple hundred people every night that didn't come out because As Lay Dying wasn't on the tour. And it affected me emotionally. And all the fans. Dude, when you're in a position of power and privilege and fame and you do something like that, dude, you're going to negatively impact so many lives. So the statement was huge for me. It was step one. It was step one. It was the first step on the road of redemption, the road of reconciliation, and the road of forgiveness for me.
So step one is not, jail time served and going through that process and justice?
Sure. I mean, yeah, but that...
But that means nothing to you other... I mean...
One could hope that, you know, the whole point of prison and the justice system is rehabilitation.
Yeah.
And the reason why the death penalty exists is because there's a point where it's like, you can't be rehabilitated or you don't deserve to be rehabilitated. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody who kills five people, you know, they try to give them the death penalty because you ended five lives. You don't deserve a second chance. Okay, but everybody else, you know, robbers, drug dealers, even rapists, you know, generally speaking, deserve a second chance, deserve rehabilitation. And if our prison system, and of course, I'm not naive. I know the American prison system is a freaking business and is not in the business of helping people or rehabilitate them. But in principle, the purpose of the prison system and the purpose of justice is to rehabilitate a broken person and make them a productive, valuable member of society again. Because if not, why not just take him out back and shoot him in the back of the head? Like, what are we... There's so many reasons not to keep someone alive and pay for them to live in a cell if there's not hope that they can change.
Yeah.
So, sure. Dude served his time. Justice was served. The question now lies in the personal areas. That's none of my business, none of your business. Where is he at with his ex-wife? Where is he at with those kids? Where is he at with his bandmates? Where is he at with his family and friends? Well, here's number two. The statement was huge for me, but number two was, I know for a fact through insider industry stuff that his bandmates, they wanted nothing to do with him. I mean, they were very upset. I mean, there's Woven War songs about it. Like, they didn't trust him. They felt betrayed. They thought he was a terrible, evil person. So a lot must have happened.
Behind the scenes.
A lot of reconciliation. A lot of trust building. And a lot of forgiveness over the last couple of years in order for them to be in a band again together.
Yeah, he had to win them over for sure. I mean, is it official that the four members are back?
100%.
Okay.
The original, the lineup since 2007 or 8. So if outside of Megan and the kids, his bandmates were the most affected. They were third in line. And like I said, it's none of my business what is the dealings with Megan and those kids. It shouldn't be our business. They deserve privacy. And they shouldn't be brought into this. But if those four guys can meet at the table and come to some sort of terms and understanding and forgiveness, then I at least should exercise an open mind in Tim's ability to be a new and improved version of himself that wouldn't allow himself to make such a terrible decision again. He's human.
I would assume if those four guys are willing to be in a band with him again, and I mean, you know, being in a band is being very intimate with these people. It's not...
Oh, they're family.
Right.
Dude, Brett, Dom, and Pat are my brothers.
Right. So, I mean, there must have been... They must have deemed him extremely sincere in order for them to trust him again enough to be in his quote-unquote family.
Well, here's another thing. You don't write a decade's worth of lyrics that uplift people. Dude, the band was Christian.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole nother level. Now, one could say it was all bullshit. It was just a facade. Sure, maybe. I mean, if we're going back to speculation... Yeah, I could die on my way home and LeBron could leave Cleveland and, you know, North Korea could nuke us and Trump could get reelected. Okay, but like there's value in taking the right steps. Tim is taking the right steps. His bandmates, to me, is a reflection of the sincerity of those steps. So... Now I come to the challenging part. I'm not completely sold. Like I said, time heals wounds, time proves things. This is just a guy who influenced me. I've never met Tim Lambesis. I've met his bandmates. I've never met him. But how much time does it take? How much proof do I need to be 100% sold that I can give a dollar to this band and not feel guilt? You know, I can listen to a YouTube stream or a Spotify stream of a song and go, well, I know exactly what they're getting paid because it's almost nothing.
Right.
I mean, I throw pennies away sometimes, and that's more than they got paid for me listening to the song a couple times. So, but ask me if I would buy a $20 to $25 t-shirt, and I don't know if I'm comfortable with it. So I think this single's lyrics and the sincerity of it and the passion, you can feel it. I mean, the first two times I listened to it, I kind of was like, Jesus, fuck. Like, dude knows.
Yeah, oh yeah, I think so too. I told you, I had chills when I listened to it.
And also, to get a little controversial here, this isn't as simple as a guy who just woke up one day and was like, you know what? I think I'm going to find somebody to kill my wife. It's not that simple. Stuff was very complicated, very dark, very malicious. And on top of it, he was already making a very terrible decision of fucking roiding out. He was having mood swings and all kinds of stuff. And I don't know a lot of details on that, but I do know that he was not entirely himself. Not an excuse, but it's a factor. And
so he had roid rage for sure.
It's not exactly. I don't think it's technically road rage or roid rage. I think it's the mood swings that come. Dude, you're pumping your system with hormones.
Right.
It take a period and multiply it by 50, and have a dick. And I'm sure that's somewhere around what was going on in his head, and a lot of people like him. But I'm not going to try and talk about that because I don't know a whole lot about steroids, so I'm going to veer away from that. I claim ignorance on steroid use. But back to my point, it was complicated. None of it was justified. None of it was okay. What he did was completely wrong. But it's not as simple as just waking up one day and going, you know what? I'm going to do this really, really terrible, selfish thing that's going to hurt someone, hurt tons of people, and end one's life. It's not that simple. That road is long and it is dark. And I think that leads me to a point I want to make about empathy and compassion. So we're all human, right? We're all capable of doing terrible things. We're all capable of making mistakes. Maybe part of the problem is I think some of us think we're not capable of doing terrible things. The righteous, the self-righteous, standing high on their high ground, pointing at people who make mistakes. I'm better than you. I'm not capable of making such terrible decisions. Do you think the Germans in the 30s and 40s thought that they were capable of exterminating an entire race? Do you think...
But did they know that was even happening? I don't know. Like, the citizens.
Many of them did.
Yeah.
Do you think every single SS officer was like, I'm 100% on board with this. I think I see the clear vision. And I support it 100%, and I'm here to serve, and I will shoot as many as I can. No. There's plenty of psychological studies on people taking orders and following norms, going against their own conscience. You've heard about the electrocution test, right? Like,
where they just give them a little bit of electrocution?
A little bit more and more and more, and the guy screams, until they comply. Eventually they die.
Or comply with what the orders are, right? Is that the study or no?
No. What it is there's a fake person pretending to be electrocuted, and the order is up the shock, up the shock, up the shock. And, I think it's 2/3 of all people got to the lethal range before they were like, I can't do this anymore. And even people were saying, I can't do this. I don't want to do this.
The people who were actually doing the shocking.
Yeah.
Not the person getting shocked.
It's fake. It's a fake shock. But So they're like, I can't do this. I don't feel right. I'm getting sick to my stomach. And many of them expressing those feelings and thoughts still kept going because some guy in a suit coat was like, do it.
Oh, my God. I never heard about this.
Actually, I wish I had it in front of me. Let's do what other podcasts do and just look it up. man, we are tangenting right now. Tangenting? Yeah. Is that
a
word?
Does this have anything to do with Azulay dying?
Damn it. But we're all,
and Tim Lambesis wasn't even taking orders.
Shock. Study. Psychology.
Just
Google.
Just talk the words out while you're typing them in so it's not dead air.
Milgram experiment on obedience to authority figures was a series of social psychology experiments conducted by Yale University psychologist Stanley Milgram. Look into Stanley Milgram's experiment on obedience to authority. All right. Now we're going to go back.
So you could just pause the podcast there, go look it up, and then come back.
Yeah. But anyways, what was my point? How did we
I don't
get
know.
There?
We're talking about orders. Oh, the people that don't think that they can make a mistake.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. People who are self-righteous. They think they're incapable of doing terrible things. They almost believe, a lot of them believe, oh, it's evil. And I have the spirit of the Lord or something. No, you're a human being. And in the right circumstances, with a lack of discipline, you are capable of being the most vicious person that ever lived. We are all capable of it. We're also capable of being, you know, Mother Teresa or Gandhi.
It's so weird to think that you have that much power. Anybody does.
Or so little.
Right, right.
That sound is my head exploding. So my point is this. I find it ironic that a lot of the people in my Facebook feed as I scroll today, because by the way, the new single came out today. I'm recording this Friday, the 8th of June. How many people are like, oh, I don't know how anybody in the metal scene can support this, blah, 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 blah. And then almost judging those who make the personal decision to listen to it, enjoy it, support it.
That's actually something that I wanted to talk about.
Well, real quick, I just want to tie this in. I'm sorry, but
no,
I find it ironic because if I know them personally, or I know their posting style, or I know what their political beliefs are, they're the same exact person who calls for empathy and compassion. They're the compassionate, empathetic, self-righteous left that expects you to empathize with every single, you know, disenfranchised group, but as soon as you make a mistake, look at what happened with Aziz Ansari. Dude was destroyed by his own kin for what was perceivably a mistake, which ended up coming out. It was a lot more gray than,
for sure, really
than
gray.
It was originally perceived. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to send nudes to somebody the night before I go hang out with them and then not expect to be advanced on sexually. Just an idea. Just kind of common sense. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to say no. But if you don't say no after all that miscommunication, how can you expect a different outcome? And the dude, ultimately, we're not talking about Aziz Ansari. Yeah.
So I'm glad that you brought up the fact that these people on the left are the ones that are sort of criticizing the new Azalea Dying stuff. I actually purposely refrained from looking at the comments on your Facebook post because we were doing the podcast and I sort of wanted to express
which we're
going to
dive into soon, by the way.
Sure. But I had some other friends that posted just their own statuses. And from what I saw, it was the exact same people that you're talking about. It's people who identify with leftism and second chances and all of this and
compassion and empathy and acceptance.
Right.
And
these are the same people that are saying pretty much if you support Azalea Dying and Tim Lambesis, you're a piece of fucking shit.
Yeah, it's hilarious to me because here, you know, I always, you know, the evangelical right, super judgmental, close-minded. Oh, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. If you don't think like this, you're evil. If you don't do this, you're a heathen. And here we are, the social liberal millennial generation who are like, you're a dumbass. Be open-minded. Let people be. Love. Exercise empathy. Exercise compassion. And so we do that, right? Or at least we should, and we're trying, and we're blah, 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 blah. And then the very people who are, you know, encouraging that type of thinking are the ones who are the first to throw a stone at somebody who makes a mistake. And I don't want to dive too deeply into, you know, the demographics of the judgments, but, you know, maybe it's because he's a cisgendered, white, straight male who comes from privilege. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope not. I hope that's not the motivation for people's scrutiny and judgment. But why condemn those who choose to listen to the music? The music obviously has a good message. Listen to the lyrics. It's about how the dude royally fucked up. He dug his own grave. He's alive in it, and he has to live with it.
Yeah, I know. It's,
he's not going, money, 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 hoes, money, hoes, money, money, hoes. Like, look at me. I'm free. I'm banging bitches' titties or whatever. Like, no. He's like, this is some real shit. I'm going to talk about
and
it.
He's living
this
up
is my
to
life.
It. Yeah, right.
I
right.
own it.
Yeah.
I own it. I'm going to man up, and I own it. Now, if he does something like this again, no joke, just shoot him in the fucking face. Okay? But we are capable of making any mistake, whether it's bombing the wrong village or stealing $5 from your mom. We're all human.
Yeah.
So where do we draw the line on morality and virtue signaling? I'm better than you because I think this versus, no, actually, this seems to be the ethical approach. This seems to be the reasonable approach. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know what that is. All I'm going to say is I'm going to be open-minded and hopeful for the path that Tim and Azalea Dying is going down. And I hope.
Well, what the beauty is if you don't support him, you just don't buy his music. And
yeah, and I want to say that it's very important to me to make it clear that's perfectly fine.
You're right. But don't judge other people who are.
Thank you. Yeah. Stop judging your peers because you don't agree on something. Just stop. Like, I think this is a gray issue. There is no clear right. There is no clear wrong. At the end of the day, we don't have the answers. Is he rehabilitated? Is he sincere? Is he going to do it again? You know, is he going to give half his money to charity? Is he going to use it all to buy strippers and blow? We don't know. It's all speculation. So I guess I would just encourage people to have an open mind. And
people deserve a second chance.
They do.
If they're sincere and they're apologetic, and they get rehabilitated, quote unquote, rehabilitated. You know, I think everybody deserves a second chance.
I agree.
Maybe not a third chance.
What's this stuff? Some cereal. It's supposed to be good for you. Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
I'm not going to try it.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah. He won't need it. He hates everything.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
When you bring life home, don't tell the kids it's one of those nutritional cereals you've been trying to get them to eat. You're the only one who has to know.
I saw a couple good points about fame and success in the entertainment industry as a privilege, which I have a very interesting take on and I really want to share.
So what's the point?
A lot of people don't think somebody like Tim deserves to have any fame or success in the entertainment world because the entertainment world is a privilege, is exciting, is fun, there's a lot of money, and people who make big mistakes don't deserve to continue on in that. Somebody mentioned Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, like being from the entertainment industry, do they deserve second chances?
Well, these guys were serial offenders, though.
That's a very good point. They were serial offenders, but
so
I'm going to take it further.
So the people that you're talking about, are they saying that maybe Tim deserves a second chance in life, but not a second chance in the industry? Is that their argument?
Yeah, I'm hearing that probably one out of four comments. I'm seeing that type of mentality. Like, yeah, go get a job, go be happy, go start over with a new life, but how dare you try and use your fame, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. Operating on that premise, that means the people who are in the music industry, the people who are in the film industry, entertainers deserve to be where they are and deserve their fame. That's not true. There's so many pieces of shit that are in the entertainment industry, and I feel I deserve fame. I feel I deserve that I should have been way more successful than I was. But I'm not. And there's plenty of people out there who don't deserve it from an ethical standpoint that are. And guess what? You fucking listen to them and you watch their movies. So if we're like, this is the difficult question I want to ask. I asked it on a question on my Facebook. I'm actually going to read it verbatim. That way I don't screw it up.
But you know what the beauty is that the fame that Tim gets is decided by the people buying his music. So if people don't think that he deserves a second chance, he doesn't get that second chance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think people are upset that so many people are open-minded to giving him the second chance.
Well, okay.
All right, here's the question real quick. Okay. Who is the better human? A guy who is dismissive, disrespectful, selfish, and treats others poorly throughout their entire life, but does not commit a heinous crime, or a decent and respectable guy who lives a good life and contributes, but commits one terrible crime? Now, that's a rhetorical question. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer there. That's very subjective. But my next statement was this. If we think in black and white, then we fall into the same trap that those we consider ignorant fall into daily. Life is complex, and the concept of right and wrong should be summed up by why, not what. Intentions are everything. People are focusing on results, actions, and not so much concerned with the intentions or the why, which is the psychology of it all, which is what I'm fascinated with and honestly is going to be the core motivation for content on this show is going to be the why of everything. Why does Trump do what he does? Why did Roseanne do what she did? Why did Tim do what he did? Like, it's not always the end result. It's not always the action. It's the intention. Roseanne is something I wanted to bring up on this because she was ostracized for her stupid-ass tweet. She got her show canceled. Bunch of people lost their job.
Let's be honest. It was a really stupid tweet.
It was extremely stupid. But the financial impact of what Roseanne did was far greater than what Tim did, and Tim tried to hire a hitman to kill his wife, and Roseanne just said a stupid joke.
Right.
An insensitive joke. Do I think Roseanne Barr is a genuine racist who thinks white people are better than blacks? Absolutely not. Do I think she's an insensitive bitch? Yes. Insensitive people say dumb shit all the time because they think they're invincible. They think they're funny. They lack tact. You could say the same thing about Trump. He's an insensitive dick. He lacks tact. He's not nice. It doesn't mean that he's every bad thing in the world. It just means he's shit.
Just an asshole.
He's an asshole. He do, you know, and I do believe he's a lot of bad things, but that's besides the point. But I guess what I'm trying to say is this. At what point do we stop trying to ruin someone's life? Like, how much can we ostracize and condemn and destroy via social media and all that until it's like, okay, you've been atoned for your sins? Does Tim Lambesis deserve to live a life in exile? Does Roseanne deserve to live a life in exile?
Not just Roseanne, all the people that worked on the show, you know, they can get other jobs, but they just lost a lot of money.
Yeah, they did. And a lot of money. I'm not going to sit here and say that it was the wrong move or right move. I honestly think that ABC did what they had to do, and those people knew what they were signing up for working with a loose cannon nut job like Roseanne. But I guess what I'm trying to say is this. I try to avoid the word social justice warrior, but this virtue signaling, this, oh, how dare you, I would never, you're so bad. Well, when does it stop? When does it stop being a forever thing and just become a, oh, you fucked up, you're human? Well, that's my girlfriend calling. But at what point? What's too big of a mistake to not forgive? I mean,
do you think it's just this time that we live in? Because
yes,
do you, I mean,
100%.
Do you think back in the 60s or earlier, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, I'm sure a lot of people made these mistakes. It just wasn't as public as it is now.
Yeah, it's in our face.
Like Roseanne could have been talking about that kind of, or a celebrity back in you know, 20 years ago could have been saying the exact same things as Roseanne. It's just, you know, that comes out in the public now.
Well, it's also, think about, if you're a decent person, and decent people make mistakes all the time, you go back 20 years, Roseanne says that exact joke in person as a stand-up comedian to, you know, 1,000 people, and it's not received well. And she goes, oh, okay, I see how that's distasteful. I see how I might have missed the mark. I see how, oh, crap, I didn't know that woman was half black. I didn't mean it as a racist thing. I just think she looks just like the Planet of the Apes. Like, there's like a recovery time.
Right.
And then you don't tell the joke again because you learned. Right. Well, now it's like you throw it on a social media, you're ruined. Yeah. So...
Even the Michael Richards thing.
Oh, my God!
If there was no social media and videos of that, like, his career would have been fine after that. It wouldn't have gotten out, you know.
He threw out an extreme case, too. He threw out the worst word in the English language.
A bunch of times. It wasn't just once.
He screwed up hard. But, again, when does it end?
Right. He's been in exile for 10 years.
Yeah, when is he like, hey, man. You screwed up. And he goes, I know I screwed up. I'm sorry. I learned from my mistake. Fuck you. Go die in a ditch. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's the climate on social media. It really is.
And to your point, everybody's capable of making just one little mistake.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't ruin your life.
No, it's funny, too, because it's like, you know, I know people personally who will virtue signal and grandstand morally on issues of social justice, and then they will chronically cheat on their significant others. Multiple times, multiple significant others. And it's like, oh, cool. So you're accepting of, you know, transgender people, and you march at Black Lives Matter rallies, but you treat the most important person in your life like a piece of shit. And again, people make mistakes. People are capable of doing terrible things.
That seems like a pattern, though.
Yeah, but it's rooted in mistakes. It's rooted in a misunderstanding of self, yeah. Lack of self-awareness. That person might not have a clue why they do the thing they do and why they repeat their behaviors. I'm not going to sit here and say that person's evil. I'm not going to sit here and tell them that they deserve to die in a ditch. You know? But... it's like it's just the judgment and the condescension that exists right now on social media is insane. Like, maybe just take a step back and accept the fact that you don't have all the answers, you're not always right, and we're all human, and we're all just trying to figure out life on the spinning rock. And with that being said, you know, I'm going to give Tim Lambesis a second chance. I'm still on the fence on what I'm going to do as far as like buying merchandise or buying an album. But
if he comes out and you make your decision that he's very sincere, would you consider doing something like that?
Well, I already am considering it. I just think it's going to require time.
Yeah.
You know, I think
you'd go to one of the shows though, right?
Probably, just because, you know, it's my world. You know, what I'd love to do is, which he would probably hate to do, but, you know, in an ideal situation, I'd love to sit down with him and talk to him about some stuff, but
it's probably a subject that he doesn't want to ever talk about.
It's probably very exhausting, and I would respect that. But I'm saying, if I had it my way, I would love to just talk to him about it, you know, like what he learned and maybe some insight of how he got to the dark place he got to, and how, you know, on the other side of it, looking back, like, oh shit, like, how to avoid that, how to avoid those steps down that terrible, dark, fucked up road that led him to that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not gonna say that you would ever fall down that road of wanting to kill somebody, but like that advice could maybe be used in other facets. You know what I mean? Like how to avoid going down a dark rabbit hole.
Well, here's the funny thing, and this is a really dark thing to think about, but one could argue that someone's moral compass, you know, is in such a way, I'm trying to think of the word here. Hiring a hitman to kill someone and killing someone is slightly different. If you hire a hitman to kill someone, you're removed.
It's different, but
it's less carnal.
It's different, but at the same time, it's just a cop out. Let's be honest.
You
want to do it, but you're too much of a pussy to do it yourself. That's how I think of it.
Right, right. But I'm gonna avoid using the P word there. But why are you too much of a wuss to do it yourself?
Because he's famous and he didn't want to get caught doing it.
He got caught anyways.
Okay, but you know, there's much more evidence in...
You really think it's that? Because I think it's facing the person.
Maybe.
Which is a moral compass issue.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, a sociopath, a psychopath, could look a loved one in the eyes and go, I have no use for you anymore. You are in my way. You're dead. Somebody who has a conscience can't. They'd go, I can't do it. I got to have somebody else do it. And even then, it's going to ruin me.
I never thought about it like that.
I mean, we're just spitballing here. I'm not saying I believe or adhere to any sort of ideas I'm stating. It's just I'm assuming that someone who is willing to hire a hitman is... as opposed to carrying it out themselves, is a little bit more in tune with their humanity. But that is no way, shape, or form a justification. Just to be clear, I'm just throwing out psychological analysis of general situations. It's something to think about. The whole thing is something to think about, and all I want to do is encourage people to have open minds, you know? Anytime you grandstand on a harsh judgment where you don't budge, you're usually going to end up missing some of the picture.
I'm just going to say that I'm totally buying his sincerity, and I'm super pumped to go see them live. And I also am really excited for new music, and I love the new song.
I, too, love the song. I do want to see them live. And I hope that this turns out to be the real deal, because I don't want to feel played and I don't want to contribute to something that's fake. But there's four other people involved in this project.
Yeah.
Four good, talented dudes that I was supposed to share the road with 5 years ago and I didn't get to because Tim fucked me. But it's not about me. All right, well, I think we're going to wrap it up. We didn't do a commercial break. I really wanted to do a commercial break because they're weird and funny. Crossfire!
We could do one in the next episode.
Let's just awkwardly cut and add one.
Right now?
No, like back. And we're talking about it now, and they're like, ha ha ha, that's funny. That explains what happened. I thought it was a glitch. Let's do that for fun.
Okay.
Because eventually I'm going to have real ads, and that's going to suck because who wants to hear real ads? I'd rather hear stuff that's from our childhood. Ooh, I wonder what I'm going to pick. Should I do a cereal ad?
What kind of cereal?
I don't know. Life.
I don't remember what the commercials were. It has to be a good commercial.
Yeah, you're right. Life is great cereal, but is it a good commercial?
Like Cocoa Puffs or Lucky Charms or something.
Cocoa Wheats can't be beat. It's the creamy hot cereal with a tasty treat. Damn it. Is it Cocoa?
I think it's Cocoa.
Shit.
I think it's Cocoa. I could be wrong. But we'll find out here in a second. And then
Jackie keeps texting me. I got to text her back. Let her know I'm. Hi, Jackie.
Aren't we wrapping this up?
Yeah. I think, what are we at? How long was this?
50.
Not bad. All right. Well, I don't know what the next episode is going to be. Maybe Art of Distraction. Maybe, we didn't talk about poop this time.
No, we didn't, but this was a pretty serious topic.
It was. It was. And it felt like it's been 20 minutes, so. But.
Let's go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Hey, can I plug my podcast, too?
Yes.
Dudes Rippin' Brews. We have a podcast where we just chug beers and get drunk and have fun, essentially. That's what we do. It's really good.
When you get having me back, I'm going to.
Anytime you want to come. You have an open invite.
What?
You have an open invite. You can come whenever you want.
Did you notice I didn't even complete a sentence?
Yeah.
But I'm glad you knew what I meant. I'm sober.
I know. You've had like a half a beer.
Dude, this is great. Lupulin Effect by Fatheads. I want to come back on, and I guess I'll say this now, but I don't know if it's going to be episode 3 or episode 4, but here in the next couple weeks, in conjunction with the 1-year anniversary of Affiance's last show, we are going to be doing an Affiance podcast, and everyone in the band will be on, and we will talk about Affiance stuff, and we'll probably all cry.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can I come?
Yeah, you're my co-host, basically. You're my fluffer. The only time I'm not going to have you on is if you're not available.
Okay.
Because at the very least, you're my Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, right?
Is that Howard Stern?
I think so. It's been so long. It's not the 90s anymore.
Also, I'm doing another plug here. Follow my brewing account. It's Brewly Boys. We drink a lot of beer and make our own beer. It's cool.
Yeah.
Dennis has had a bunch of our
beer. Yeah, it's fantastic beer. They have a jalapeno wheat that's good. They have, what's that IPA called? Session 69.
Hell yeah.
That's a good one. And yes, that's a reference to oral sex being performed on each
no,
other.
No, man, it was the 69th session that I tried.
Oh, no, it wasn't, you shit ass.
That's the story I go with, though.
Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and plug something, too. Check out my band, Affiance. We're a metalcore band out of Cleveland, Ohio. We don't exist anymore.
Like anybody listening to this didn't listen to Affiance.
They're pretty good. I'm kind of sick of how much vibrato the singer uses sometimes. Some songs, it's perfect. Other songs, I'm just like, what's going on? For fans of... oh, that's always funny. For fans of, oh my God, us, I heard everything.
Really?
I've heard it. For fans of Iron Maiden, Mutiny Within. Okay, I get that a little bit. For fans of August Burns Red,
Protest
A Day to Remember, Protest the Hero. Okay, yeah, yeah. Then you get like, it just gets weird, man. And it's just all over the place. It was all over the place. Basically, for fans of music. Like, cool, I guess. I don't know. Damn it. Fuck. Anyways.
I'm excited to see the guys. I haven't seen everybody together in a long time.
It's going to be fun. We're going to get drunk.
Hell yeah.
We did that Facebook Live like a week and a half ago for Brett's book, which I'm going to be promoting his book on that podcast pretty hard because it comes out around then. But I got drunk real fast. I had like 5 whiskeys in an hour and a half. And I was just like, woo. People were like, Denny's slurring his words. I'm like, damn it.
So is Pat going to be here?
No, he's going to call in. He's okay. Actually, okay. I don't think I'm allowed to say. God damn it, Pat. You need to communicate. He's going to be busy.
Okay.
But he's going to be on the phone.
Can we do that on the weekend?
No, it's already... We'll talk about this later, but okay. We don't need to discuss the details of how we're going to record a podcast on this podcast.
That's kind
of
cool.
I guess, but there's going to it's clear there's going to be some scheduling issues that we need to work out. No one else is
Let's
interested.
Let's figure out a date right now.
No. All right. So we're going to wrap this up. Thank you guys for tuning in. I also want to thank you guys. It's been a week since I posted my first episode, and I have about 200 listeners, and I'm very stoked on it since I didn't promote it very hard. So thank you guys so much. Please share the word on your own with friends people you think would be interested. We'll see you at the next, actually I won't see you because these are microphones, not cameras. So you'll hear me and I'll see all the stuff you'll type. Also, don't forget to email questions, things you want to share, things that email me anything because I might be inspired by it and talk about it. I didn't get any emails about the Myers-Briggs test, 16personalities.com.
Seriously?
Not one person emailed me with their results or any questions or anything. Take the fucking test or I get fucked. No, do what you want, but it's interesting and I'd like to hear feedback. So rageofreasonpodcast@gmail.com. All right, Tim, thank you for joining me again.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Till next time.
Yep. This was Rage of Reason.